Well, anyone identify with Becky in that scene? I really do, right now. Does it ever feel like you're drowning and trying? You're just trying to be the best whatever, the best mom, the best wife, best employee, the best speaker, the best student, grandma, the best godly woman. You just try and try. Sometimes it catches up to you. You're drowning, but you're not going to tell anyone because that would make you a stinking loser. Now that you think about it, you pretty much suck at a lot of things. But you're trying to keep face. You're trying to save face and keep up. In preparation for the retreat, we were asked to read Searching for God Knows What by Dennis Miller. Sharon read a little bit of an excerpt last night. In the book, he talks about the lifeboat theory of thought. Once when he was in college, his professor asked them if there were a male lawyer, a female doctor, a crippled child, a stay-at-home mom, and a garbage man, and one person had to be thrown out of the boat to save the others, which person would they choose? Basically, designating who is most valuable. Oh, okay. I'm like, can you hear my heart? Okay. Oh, seriously. I'm gonna. That's a good mic.
You're just fine.
Okay.
We love you.
Thank you. As Sharon mentioned last night, our relationship with God has been disturbed secondary to the fall of man. Because of this, we feel a huge need and desire to be respected by other people instead of God. This goes hand in hand with the lifeboat theory of thought. We go about making decisions about who's more important, who's most liked, who's most valued. We compare ourselves to others, and sometimes in order to stay in the boat, we smack each other upside the head with our oars just to get them out. What if somebody in the boat likes them more than me? What then? I better try harder or disqualify them somehow before someone finds out. We are constantly seeking our own self-preservation. What if someone doesn't like us? We want to be liked and we want to be loved. And what happens if we're not? What if, for example, I showed up here to the retreat and Sharon tells me, guess what? This is really going to be a reality show that's So You Think You Can Teach? Four people are going to heaven as a result of the contest, and one person's going to hell. Serious consequences, mind you. I would like for you to picture my behavior now. This is me going back to my room, having just found out that information.
Are you stinking flipping kidding me? So you think you can teach? No, 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 I know I can't teach. This was not my idea.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right. Don't panic. Pray. Yeah, pray. Dear Lord, kill me. If you don't want to kill me, Lord, if you could just make me Beth Moore. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Dang!
Okay. Oh, what is with the camouflage pants? It's a women's retreat. Not like that would help. I mean, you're ugly. I mean, there's not much to do. Okay. All right, size up your competition. Who's your competition? Sharon, Michelle, Mary, Melody. Lord, these are real godly women. They're not a poser. I'm posing, Lord. I'm posing. Okay, one by one, Sharon.
Yeah, right. Pastor's wife. Yeah, she's not getting voted off. Okay. Okay, Michelle. I don't really know Michelle. She did like all those things, all those bags, and somebody said she makes her own paper. Lord, I can't even make my own bed. Okay. Melody. What is with all the smiley women? They're all smiley women and they all pray. Oh, and she brought all that China stuff and the decorations. Oh, Lord, she's really a girl. Okay. I signed everyone. Water. It's a sign for water. Okay. Who's next? Mary. Mary Wood. Beautiful, drop dead, gorgeous Mary Wood. Who already leads. Oh, wait. I do know some stuff about Mary. I might be able to use some of this. Sorry, Wood. You're going down, babe. Oh, here they come. Oh! Hi, girls, what's up? Oh, sure, I'd love to pray. Hey, and let's pray for Mare, too, okay? Yeah, let's pray for travel safety. She's not here yet. Oh, no, she's going to come off after she gets off work. Oh, no, 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 not the nursing job. No, she got suspended. Well, I mean, it wasn't her fault, really. Nothing really happened to the patient. I mean, she was just filling out the surgical paperwork, and the patient came in for a toe removal. And, you know, well, she works with all those kids all the time, and she started singing, head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes, head and shoulders, knees and toes. And then she wrote the word head before the word amputation for the toe. I mean, it's not like it really happened, so I don't know what they're so in a fluff about. But anyway, she's on suspension. But the good news is she is making sweet money at Hooters. So, yep. Double blessing in the midst of a trial. Yep. She doesn't get off work till midnight, so when she comes up, we'll all pray for her, and she's found a site online where she can just download a teaching, so she didn't even have to worry about being prepared for it. She is such a good steward with her time. Okay, so that was a little bit over the top. And I just want to clarify, Mary knew I was going to say all those things. She gave me her blessing. And when she was in Italy, she got the blessing from the Pope, too. I do have to sleep with one eye open, though, tonight, however. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is the level we go to stay in the blasted lifeboat. What do we think gives us value? What makes us love? What makes us accepted? We beautify ourselves, some to the point of obsession, some more subtle. Being observed as healthy and fit and well cared for is important. We want to be respected. Sometimes we want to be sexy. Other times we want to appear modest, depending on the environment and the people around us. We want to be smart, or at least appear smart. And more importantly, we want to be right. Intelligence is of high value. Now entering middle age, I find this extremely hard to maintain the image. I refer to it as suddenly stupid. I have never been so forgetful in my life. Granted, this offers me plenty of opportunities to be humble, but I find it quite distressing at times. Being successful is valued. We have ratings in our cultures regarding our jobs. There are desirable jobs that we enjoy telling people we have. You're a doctor, a teacher, a business executive, nurse, firefighter. Most people that poop scoop at parks don't go around bragging to their friends, although they really should. It's a grateful, praiseworthy thing. I'm grateful to the scoopers. We want to be a good friend, and more importantly, we want to have friends. And when we do have friends, we want to make sure we are attentive to them, that we remember their birthdays, that we pray for them, that we inquire about their children, how they're doing. We have appropriate friendship protocols that we internalize. We then base whether we're a good friend or a bad friend, and we do the same thing back to them. Did they talk about us behind our back? Did they invite us to do other things with them? If they didn't invite us, why didn't they invite us? What area do we need to improve in? Or is it time to cut them loose and choose another friend and invite the other friend somewhere over and make sure the other friend knew that we had another friend? I know it sounds kind of juvenile, but I think we do this at an unconscious level. We want to be good wives, and this could entail endless things. Being a good cook, being able to take care of a home, sew, raise children, shop on a budget, whatever you consider good wives do. Other good things we try to do are to achieve our dreams, to have accomplishments, to graduate, to get a house, to be socially appropriate, to be respectful, dress nice. These are all indications of being good. One thing we really try as Christians too, which we wouldn't think we do so much, is we try to be good Christians. We try to be humble. We must go to church. We must tithe. We must serve. We must pray. We must lead people to Christ. We must be obedient, do missionary tasks, homeschool, don't gossip, don't cuss, share with others who are less fortunate, don't watch bad movies, avoid worldly vices, be good stewards of your time and your money, take communion, don't cheat, don't lie, get baptized, and don't judge others very much. I'd like to share one of my favorite books with you. I found this book when I first became a Christian. Some of you may know it if you have kids, and some may know it if I've given it to you as a gift. It's called You Are Special by Max Lucado, and I took some pictures. I'm hoping they're going to come up so you can kind of follow along as I read. The Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by the wood carver named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes, some were tall, and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats, but all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. All day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of gold star stickers and a box of gray star stickers. Up and down the streets, all over the city, people spent their days sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough and the paint chipped, the Wemmick gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew words and could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to go do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes, when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then, when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him yet more dots. After a while, he had so many dots, he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up and give him one for no reason at all. He deserves a lot of dots. The wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. A few times he went outside, he hung around the other Wemmicks who had a lot of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he had ever met. She had no dots and no stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star. But it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot. But it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I go to see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli, the wood carver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill, he's there. And with that, the Wemmick, who had no stickers, turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear, so Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill, stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened, the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. And then he heard his name. Punchinello? The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come, let me look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down, picked him up, and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. I tried really hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give you stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And I think you're pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special. Why? I can't run fast. I can't jump. My paint's peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day, I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it'll take some time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come and see me every day and let me remind you of how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench, set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you're special because I made you. And I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground. I love that story. Just like Punchinello, we constantly seek to be loved and accepted by others. And when someone tells us they're better than us, or we just feel that they are, we can get very depressed, maybe even withdrawn from others altogether. Why do we do these things? Why is it that what someone else feels about us is so important? In the beginning, God made us. He told us who we were, and that we were loved, and that we were His, which gave us value. Then mankind fell, and outside of that relationship, we don't have any value. Apart from Christ, we hopelessly fall short of feeling that love. Apart from Christ, we are all losers. Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have altogether become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Well, there you have it. It's all been confirmed. We are all worthless. The playing field has been leveled. None of us are boatworthy. We're all a bunch of great daughters, D-O-T-T-E-R, not daughters, it's like sons and, seeking stars. Think back to Lucia. Why didn't the star stick? One would have thought that would have been ideal. Just let all the positive comments someone gives you stay in your head or your heart. I suspect it's because we'd get full of ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Works here being the stars the Wemmicks love to receive. God loved Lucia because she was Lucia, just like he loves us, just because we're us. Notice he doesn't say once to Lucia, well, Lucia, what have you done for me lately? Or, wow, Lucia, that was so impressive. I have never seen anyone do something like that before. Lucia got it. She knew her worth was from God alone, not the Wemmicks. The Wemmicks were all just the creation, not the creator. God made all the Wemmicks to be able to have the same awareness that Lucia has. He tells us over and over, but we still don't hold on to it. Remember Punchinello says, I'm not sure I understand. That's so us. Then Eli, God, reassures him, you will, but it'll take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day and let me remind you of how much I care. Notice he doesn't say you have a lot of dots. He says marks. I believe to emphasize we need to shake our pride as well. Lucia didn't say, well, I don't have any stars or dots because I have my act together. I'm organized and I read the Bible every day and I can retain all that I read. So I learn faster than others and so I got it earlier. And also I prayed and, oh, I was homeschooled. So that helps a lot. So you should try that. She didn't say one thing about what she did other than I go to see Eli and spend time with him and you can do it too. She went to hear him be in love with her because she was his. He made her, and she loved him for it. And she loved watching him work and seeing how much he loved all the people he made. She wanted others to have it too. She wasn't competing for space in a boat. She didn't need no stinking lifeboat. She walked freely on the water with Jesus. That's what God wants for us. Our only value, our only worth, our only hope is in him, period. Colossians 1:21-22 tells us, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation, no dots, no stars, without blemish. Christ did it for us. If we believe we are less valued or less loved or more valued or more loved by God than others, then we are negating all Christ did for us. We are putting our hope in ourselves, not God, and we will be sadly disappointed. He redeemed us not because of what we are or what we are not, but because of who he is. You are worth the very life of his son. How much more could God tell you how much he loves you? And we're just going to play a song right now.
He prays every night and day. Let it hurt it more.